Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one of our U.S. senators think about the Attorney General confirmation process, ongoing negotiations with Iran, and proposed trade agreements? Let's go in depth with Senator Chuck Grassley from New Hartford.
Hi, Dr. Bob. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Senator?
Very good. I got back yesterday at noon. Normally, I come back late Sunday night because we had those potential bad storms in Iowa that evidently didn't stop the flights that I normally would take, but I got out of before I had anything to worry about. And then I heard this morning about how Lake City got hit by a tornado very badly.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad. Fortunately, nobody was injured, as I understand it.
That's pretty good.
Well, and it didn't even make it to your neck of the woods. None of that severe weather did, I don't think.
Well, you mean up around New Hartford. Don't forget, 5 years ago, we got hit.
I remember that.
Parkersburg, yeah. And New Hartford got hit, too, but not as bad as Parkersburg.
That's for sure. Well, hopefully nobody ever gets hit like that again.
Yeah.
Well, Senator, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about is we waited about 6 months for Loretta Lynch, our new Attorney General, to be confirmed, and you voted against that. Was that 6 months worth it, do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm not trying to correct you because the 6 months is accurate. But don't forget, two of those months was under Democrats, November and December, and they had enough votes that if they wanted to approve her, they could have gotten her approved, even over Republican objections. Now, I have to tell you, at the time, I said they ought to let it lay over because that's been kind of tradition with a lot of nominees. But also, don't forget that during those 2 months, they had another agenda other than Loretta Lynch. And that was to get 11 judges approved that would have normally gone back to the White House and gone over so we could approve them this year. And they also wanted to get a couple bills out of committee. So they chose an agenda that was not pro-Loretta Lynch. Now, that means that on January the 5th, we got the name up here. And I told former Chairman Leahy, when he asked me when we were going to have a hearing, I said on January the 27th. We had our hearing on January 27th. She was put on the next agenda, and she was held over for a week, which is normal, whether you got Republican or Democrat majorities. And then she was voted out of committee the last week of February. Then she would have been second thing on the agenda after she was voted out, and that was right after the human trafficking bill. Now, remember, the human trafficking bill got out of committee 19-0, and it passed the Senate 99-0, but in between the month that it was up and she was held up because the Democrats were filibustering a bill that had that unanimous consent. Now, are we to be blamed for the Democrats filibustering a bill when they knew that Loretta Lynch was going to be the next thing on the agenda? I don't think they did that. I don't think it's fair that they did it. And eventually they came to the conclusion that they needed to move ahead with a human trafficking bill so they could get her up. And when she got up, she was approved within 2 days.
Yeah, I wasn't so much going to go there, but I guess you're responding to criticism that you said that after she was named, I think in early November, you said they should wait until the new congressmen and senators were seated before they voted and then to allow them to vote. And then they did. And then you criticized them for not getting it done before. And so that's what you're responding to?
Well, I'm responding. I just wanted to give you the whole history because I thought 60 days of November and December when they could have decided to do it. Now, they could make a point out of I made that request, But when they didn't listen to me very many times, and it was their own agenda that they wanted to promote, and they didn't really care about Loretta Lynch, because with 51 votes, and they had 55 votes, and they had plenty of Republican votes, she could have been approved before Christmas.
And ultimately, you voted against her anyway?
Yeah, yes, I did. I didn't start out with that in mind, because I was looking for a new direction for the Department of Justice, and you probably read my comments at the time, that after questioning her, I came to the conclusion, as a lot of my colleagues did, that she was going to run the Justice Department exactly the same way that Holder run it. And don't forget that our complaint about that was he himself said that he was, quote unquote, a wingman for the president. The Attorney General of the United States is not supposed to be a wingman for the president. He's supposed to be the Attorney General for the entire country. And she didn't seem to satisfy us, and I hope she proves me wrong, because I wouldn't mind saying that I made a mistake voting against her, just like I'm willing to tell you I made a mistake in voting for Holder when I voted for him. And just a minority of us Republicans voted for him. But he politicized the department, and it doesn't seem to me that she's going to depoliticize the department.
Well, thinking back, I don't remember all of the, the history of attorney generals, but I remember at least one controversial Republican attorney general. I forget, how long ago, John Ashcroft, that I guess you could say that the same thing about. Is that not correct?
No, I think you're thinking of Gonzalez. You might be able to say the same thing about. In regard to Ashcroft, I believe that he would, he could show you where he was in the hospital bed, and they wanted him to sign off on some things, and he wouldn't do it because he thought they were unconstitutional, that he showed a great deal of independence.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Well, what else is on your plate right now? Why don't we go right to that?
This week, Trade Promotion Authority. But don't forget, last week, we got two very important items out of the way. One was the first budget to get through both houses since Reid decided 6 years ago we didn't need to have a budget, even though the law requires it. And the second thing was we got the bill almost unanimously, only one dissenting vote, that gives Congress the right to review the Iran disarmament agreement, assuming they get a disarmament agreement signed.
You've been for that from the beginning?
Yes, I have been.
And so you think that that will hurt the negotiations or change?
No, I don't think it's going to affect the negotiations. It's going to give Congress and the American people a chance to approve or disapprove, or if we don't do anything, it still will go into effect. If we disapprove of it, it's pretty much still the president getting his voice, because if we disapproved of it and he vetoed our resolution of disapproval, we probably would not have two-thirds vote to override. So it means that probably whatever's agreed to is going to get through, but at least Congress has had a right to review it, and in the process, the president can't lift sanctions until 30 days after the agreement's been presented to the Congress of the United States. So it's the first time that Congress has taken away some authority that we've given the president, in which he could unilaterally do away with sanctions, even if Congress had imposed those sanctions. And these are congressionally imposed sanctions. So it gives us a little more authority in regard to that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. When you mentioned trade, I'm hearing a lot of controversy about this Pacific Trade Initiative, and in particular, President Obama's getting a lot of flack from Elizabeth Warren. Do you have any thoughts on this trade agreement?
Yeah, this is one of the few things that Congress and the President, the Republican Congress and the President, can agree on. And I think that Iowa exports a lot of our agricultural products. We export a lot of our manufacturing products. I'll mention 24% of the John Deere tractors, a third of the heavy equipment at Vermeer, 40% of the products that come out of 3M in Knoxville, just to name a few things. And then don't forget, Principal Financial has a lot of international business. And then we export a lot of our agriculture products. So manufacturing, agriculture, and services, the extent to which we export in Iowa, but the whole country is an exporting nation as well, we have already very low trade barriers. Other countries have much higher trade barriers. So it seems to me if we can get them to lower their trade barriers, we can't go much lower. We have more of a level playing field, and it's going to benefit our jobs that are created in the United States or preserved in the United States. And don't forget that these jobs that are connected to international trade pay 15% above the national average.
Well, now, some criticisms of this say that this is just a mechanism not to get our manufactured products over there. It's going to, I don't know, we're going to be exporting jobs as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that we have exported a lot of manufacturing jobs, but don't forget, a lot of that is unrelated to any trade agreements we have. And most people suggest that trade is very job creation positive. It might not be manufacturing. It might be research and development jobs that are the forerunner to what's manufactured, even someplace else in the world. And without that infrastructure of R&D, which is probably better paying jobs than the manufacturing jobs, it's very beneficial to our economy. I think that that there's a lot of hysteria about trade. But so the unions are against it. How do you justify if 24% of the tractors at John Deere's are exported and the UAW is against trade agreements that would level the playing field, would they not want John Deere to export? And would they, if they didn't export, manufacture 24% less tractors and have 24% less jobs? It just doesn't add up.
Well, I guess in response, some of those folks might say, well, they're going to be, if those jobs stayed here, that would be well and good, but those jobs could go to $5 an hour employees or less in Mexico or China or wherever. I guess that's the concern, isn't it? That it could be good for the business, the overall bottom line of the company. It could be great, but fewer people would, it'd be hard on the American worker. It can be both.
You even find China now, where a lot of manufacturing jobs went, they've advanced so much technically that they become assembly platform, and they're even outsourcing a lot of their manufacturing jobs to cheaper places. But I think the main thing you want to look at is that just think, we've been in a regime of lowering trade barriers since World War II. And it's been very positive, not only for the United States, but it's been very positive for the entire world. And not just in economic terms, in terms of countries that trade together tend to not war against each other. And the other thing is, without a doubt, in the last 15 years, there's been a trend away from manufacturing jobs in the United States, but not necessarily because they're outsourced, but because of smarter manufacturing and because of robots and all that sort of thing. But also, based upon quality and assurance of delivery on time, you're finding some manufacturing moving back to the United States. The trouble is when a company leaves or part of it leaves, it's always a front page story. And when manufacturing coming back into the United States, it dribbles back. So you got to pick it up maybe once a week in the Wall Street Journal. Well, who reads the Wall Street Journal and keeps up on manufacturing coming back? But you even find it in Iowa, manufacturers telling you why they're doing more back here than overseas.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to address with our listeners today, Senator?
No, I think you've covered a lot of territory. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Senator.
Okay, goodbye.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.